Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. Mr. Overton brings on today's broadcast the first of four messages on the prophecy of Micah. Since the busy highway from Egypt to Jerusalem went through Micah's hometown, he was not far removed from the city ways of his great contemporary Isaiah. The burden of the prophet Micah concerned the two important capital cities of the nation of Israel, Samaria and Jerusalem. These major centers affected the entire national thought and action. Mr. Overton describes what became a sad tale of two cities. And now I'm happy to present Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Two cities set forth the history of the ancient nation of Israel: Samaria, capital city of the northern kingdom, and Jerusalem, capital city of Judah, and the location of God's temple. The prophet Micah, whose name means "who is like unto Jehovah," begins his prophecy by centering on these two important cities. The word of the Lord, which came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Micah's hometown was located only 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem in the land of Judah, and received the busy traffic on the highway from Egypt to Jerusalem. Micah was an astute observer. He also must have communicated with his older contemporary at Jerusalem, the great prophet Isaiah. While Micah's main message was directed to Judah, he did not neglect God's message to the northern kingdom. Samaria and Jerusalem, as the major centers, affected the entire national thought and action. Micah declared the word of the Lord to the authorities in these vital centers. The God of Israel, after all, remained the supreme authority. Micah possessed strong conviction as to his prophetic call. Thus he declares, "The word of the Lord which came to Micah." His messages contrasted greatly with the more popular seers of that day, so that Micah stated without hesitation, "The sun will go down on those prophets, and the day will become dark over them. The seers will be ashamed. The diviners will be embarrassed. On the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin." When King Hezekiah of Judah heeded God's prophet and honored Israel's covenant God, Jerusalem received a temporary suspension of the fate that met Samaria. This was cited 100 years later by the elders of Jerusalem in defense of the prophet Jeremiah. "Then some of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And Micah spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion will be plowed as a field, Jerusalem will become ruins. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And the Lord changed his mind about the misfortune which he pronounced against them?" The prophecy of Micah divides simply into three parts. Each division opens with a stern rebuke for sin, then the announcement of judgment upon the sin, and finally the promise of future blessing brought about through the Messiah. The tone of Micah's writings may well be summed up in the words of the great rabbi from Tarsus who became the Apostle Paul. "Behold, then, the goodness and the severity of God." Each section of the prophecy of Micah begins with the exhortation, "Hear ye." In section 1, The summons to hear is given not just to Israel, but to all the nations. Hear, O people, all of you. Listen, O earth, and all it contains. In this summons by the one true God to all peoples of the earth, it is indicated clearly that the nation of Israel is God's chosen medium for teaching. If this cannot be done in blessing, then it will be accomplished in judgment. The witness of God thus goes forth among the nations by his dealing with Israel. The Lord God is the supreme authority in all affairs of mankind. This will be manifested in due time. The summons does concern, however, the nation of Israel. For Micah continues, "And let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple." This preface sounded previously in Israel's history. It took them back to the time when the voice of God summoned Moses from the sanctuary. Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. They would recall the time when Israel was yet to enter the promised land that Moses commanded, "Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing, and call the heavens and the earth to witness against them." Israel, nations, and individuals are held accountable. The Lord is now revealed as judge. He comes out of his heavenly place to inquire into Israel's condition. In highly figurative language, the prophet depicts the Lord treading upon the high places and mountains of the earth. The imagery includes the action of earthquakes and volcanoes. Historically, this pointed to the coming destruction of the northern kingdom by Shalmaneser, and the invasions first by Sennacherib and finally by Nebuchadnezzar. What was the cause of this visitation of God's judgment? Micah gives the answer. All this is for the rebellion of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the rebellion of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? The capitals, Samaria and Jerusalem, had become seats of corruption. Samaria had a mixture of false idolatrous rites and Mosaic worship. Jerusalem abounded in treachery and apostasy. Together, they had become the very core of Israel's pollution. The high places were altars erected on the hills and mountains for sacrifice to idols. No marvel that the God of Israel was angry. Micah predicts the destruction of Samaria. The Assyrians would only be an instrument in God's hand. "For I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the open country, planting places for a vineyard." The beautiful and prosperous city would be destroyed to its very foundations. The site would return to tillage, the vineyard that it probably was originally. Such are the terrible wages of sin. But the stroke is also to fall upon the kingdom of Judah. Micah's grief then becomes most intense. He sees an incurable wound that reaches to the very heart of the nation, the city of Jerusalem. "I must lament and wail, for her wound is incurable. For it has come to Judah, it has reached the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem." Micah presents an unusual description of the Babylonian invaders' march toward Jerusalem, conquering town after town. The nine names listed conceal remarkable word plays, perhaps the longest in the scriptures. Much of the meaning is now lost to us. The play upon words would be as if it were said today, "In Philadelphia, there is no brotherly love," or "In Providence, there is no God." Micah has assailed in chapter 1 the sins against the Lord. Now in chapter 2, he fearlessly rebukes the evils committed against fellow men. The nobility had premeditated their evil. They coveted and seized the property of others and brought to oppression women and children. Clever satire abounds in these descriptions. God's land has been defiled. Michael declares this is no place of rest because of the uncleanness that brings on destruction, a painful destruction. The wrongdoers must be cast out. But God continues on with a remnant. The short paragraph that closes this first portion of Micah's prophecy is like a ray of sunshine breaking through the dark clouds of judgment. Israel's God proclaims, I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. So their king goes on before them, the Lord at their head. This is none other than the Messiah of Israel. God always works with the remnant. Israel's blessings for all times are to be found in him, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. There is today a remnant according to God's gracious choice. Will you trust him and thus enter into his blessings and his rest?
And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.